Thank you, Blessing and Jonga. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Thursday, March 6th, 2014. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Sandra Nyairam. Studio 7 is going out to you on 909 medium wave and on 4930, 5940 and 15455 shortwave frequencies. On the internet, you can find us at www.studio7news.com. You can also send us text messages at 001-202-465-0318. Among our top stories this evening, the MDCT pushes for the formation of a land commission to investigate multiple farm ownership in the country amid reports that several farms are not being fully utilized.
We demand the urgent establishment of the Zimbabwe Land Commission in line with the country's constitution that should immediately carry out a comprehensive, transparent, and non-partisan audit.
The ZANU-PF dominated Chinoy Council slashes down town clerk Abel Gotora's earnings as the call to cut obscene salaries for some of the country's top government and council executives grows louder. And former Bulawayo Deputy Mayor Alderman Charles Mpofu, who died in a Bulawayo hospital Sunday after he was run over by an unlicensed driver, was laid to rest in his Matopo homestead today. The MDC formation led by former Prime Minister Morgan Tsvangirai is urging authorities to establish a land commission to investigate multiple farm ownership in the country amid reports that several farms are not being fully utilized. Thomas Chiripasi has more details from the capital.
Addressing a news conference today at his party's Harvest House headquarters, MDCT Shadow Minister for Agriculture, Lands and Water Development, Samuel Spepankomo, said several farms countrywide were not being put to good use, resulting in the country's poor economic performance. Nkomo said several senior government officials are multiple farm owners, adding that poor management and non-utilization of most of those farms is affecting economic growth. In view of this, the MDCT is calling for the immediate establishment of a land commission in line with the new constitution that will carry out a land audit.
We demand the urgent establishment of the Zimbabwe Land Commission in line with the country's constitution that should immediately carry out a comprehensive, transparent, and non-partisan audit to weed out greedy multiple farm owners. Land resources, taken as a whole, remain chronically underutilized and inefficiently managed. The continued growth of the country will require a coherent and pragmatic approach to land use planning and management. The issues of tenure, linking communal area agricultural land productivity to service agro-industrial opportunities and acceding to regional and international conventions, treaties and declarations need therefore to be dealt with.
While most multiple farm owners are reportedly in the government, Nkomo said he is pessimistic the authorities will move with speed to set up the commission. Amongst the multiple farm owners, Nkomo singled out the First Family, accusing Grace Mugabe of literally owning the whole of Mazowe District.
Last month, Grace Mugabe took over 800 hectares of prime land at Mazowe Citrus Estates and Manjou Game Reserve in Mazowe, leaving hundreds of workers unemployed and homeless. Last year, Grace Mugabe forcibly grabbed 1,600 hectares of Mazowe Citrus Estates. Similar reports are coming from across the country where ZANU-PF supporters are moving in and disrupting farming activities.
However, President Robert Mugabe is on record calling for a one-man, one-farm policy. The MDCT's call for the establishment of the Land Commission comes at a time when a Harare High Court judge recently ruled that the government should repossess farms distributed under the Fast Track Land Reform Program that are underutilized. Nkomo also complained of the partisan distribution of food aid and farming inputs instigated by ZANU-PF, working in cahoots with traditional leaders and agricultural extension officers countrywide.
The actions of the ZANU-PF government are in fundamental breach of the constitution, which clearly states in the Fundamental Human Rights and the Freedoms Act that every citizen has a right to sufficient food, safe and potable water. We urge ZANU-PF to stop gambling with people's lives for cheap political gain. Further, in a country where more than 2 million people need food aid, there are disturbing reports from across the country that ZANU-PF officials, government officials, and traditional chiefs are demanding ZANU-PF membership cards from the villagers before they receive the government food aid and agricultural inputs.
Meanwhile, Nkomo urged the government to focus on the development of smallholder irrigation schemes, increase the participation of women and the unemployed youths to embrace irrigation farming, and ensure that cost-saving drip irrigation is developed in all provinces. Studio 7 failed to get a comment from Agriculture Minister Joseph Made. ZANU-PF spokesman Rugare Gumbo was also unavailable for comment. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
Former Bulawayo Deputy Mayor Alderman Charles Mpofu, who died in a Bulawayo hospital Sunday after he was run over by an unlicensed driver, was laid to rest in his Matopo homestead today. Hundreds of people paid their last respects, describing the outspoken politician as a great man who contributed greatly in the country's democratization process. Mpofu served as councillor for Ward 25 in the Bulawayo Local Authority between 1999 and 2008. He was a member of different political parties, including ZANU-PF, ZAPU, MDCT, and the Ngube MDC. He contested the last election as a parliamentary candidate for the Ngube MDC in Keta, but was defeated by an MDCT candidate. You are listening to Studio 7, coming to you live from the Voice of America in Washington. We are broadcasting on 909 medium wave and on 4930, 5940 and 15455 shortwave frequencies. On the internet, you can find us at www.studio7news.com, or you can send us text messages at 001-202-465-0318. In regional and international news, the Libyan government says Niger has extradited Saif Gaddafi, the son of the late Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi. The Prime Minister's office said he arrived today and is now in jail in the capital of Tripoli. Saif Gaddafi fled to Niger, which is just south of Libya, following the NATO-backed uprising that ousted and killed his father in 2011. Libya insists he will be treated in accordance with international law. Saidi, one of Gaddafi's 8 children, is wanted by Libya for alleged corruption and armed intimidation as head of the Libyan Football Federation. His brother, Saif al-Islam, is wanted by the International Criminal Court for alleged crimes against humanity. He is being held by Libyan militia groups. The U.S. is imposing visa restrictions on Russians and Crimeans who it says are threatening Ukraine. In addition, the White House said today that President Barack Obama has signed an executive order authorizing sanctions on groups and individuals responsible for activities undermining democratic processes or institutions in the Ukraine. The announcement said Mr. Obama's order is aimed at officials who have misappropriated Ukraine's state assets or purport to assert governmental power without authorization from the new Ukrainian government in Kiev. the US action comes on top of the European Union move yesterday to freeze the assets in Europe held by 18 Ukrainian officials. Meanwhile, lawmakers in the Crimea have voted in favor of the Ukrainian region becoming part of Russia. Yesterday's vote by the Moscow-backed Crimean parliament came as European Union leaders gathered for an emergency summit in Brussels to discuss how to pressure Russia to back down from its military incursion in the Crimea. And a neighbor of Oscar Pistorius says he found the Olympic athlete kneeling and praying over his dying girlfriend after he shot her in his Pretoria home. Testifying on the fourth day of Pistorius' trial, radiologist Johan Stipp said he entered the athlete's home minutes after hearing screams and shots and saw Pistorius weeping by River Steenkamp's body. Stipp says he tried to help the 29-year-old model, but that she showed no sign of life. He says he noticed wounds on her right thigh, her upper right arm, and on her head. He also says Pistorius was emotionally very, very upset, adding that he thought the athlete was going to hurt himself. This is Studio 7 coming to you live from the Voice of America in Washington. You can hear us on 909 medium wave and on 4930, 5940 and 154.55 shortwave frequencies. Riled by National Assembly Speaker Jacob Mdenda's ruling yesterday, threatening action against lawmakers found to be abusing parliamentary privileges and making unsubstantiated statements in the House, MDC parliamentarians had today planned a boycott, saying Mdenda is trying to muzzle them. Ivan Chifera has details from the capital.
MDCT Chief Whip Innocent Gonese tells Studio 7, in their view, the ruling is meant to muzzle lawmakers. Mdenda yesterday cited a debate in which Mbizo lawmaker Settlement Chikwinya contributed to debate on the so-called salary gate scandal. Mdenda says in the process, Chikwinya abused parliamentary privileges by making unsubstantiated statements against former Information Minister Webster Shamu and Zimbabwe Revenue Authority Commissioner General Geshom Pasi. Mdenda said lawmakers should first have their facts right before using the floor to make unsubstantiated allegations. But lawmakers think the speaker is trying to muzzle them. Gonese adds, legislators are protected by the law that says they are not liable to be sued for what happens in parliament, adding, this is to ensure they articulate issues without fear.
I think that is really unfortunate because I believe that when members are speaking to any person, they should be able to articulate issues which have been brought to their attention. And at the same time, if it relates to other members of parliament, they have an opportunity to respond, even if it applies to people in the corporate world or in parastatals, they will have opportunities to appear before the appropriate parliamentary committees so that they can set the record straight. So I believe that the ruling at face value is something which is not going to promote the interests of the country at large.
But Mdenda said lawmakers have been abusing their parliamentary privileges since the beginning of the 8th Parliament, hence his ruling. He said action will be taken against those found to have abused their privileges by, for example, making unsubstantiated statements against fellow members or members of the public. Though the MDC lawmakers were expected to boycott today's sitting, Gonese said they were still studying the ruling.
Oh, which is why I'm saying that I'm still to study it and also to seek, you know, other views. As you know, that when it comes to legal issues, one always wants to have as many opinions as possible so that one can formulate an appropriate course of action. So I think it would be premature to say at this point in time what action can be taken until one is thoroughly studied and come to appreciate the legal necessities emanating from the ruling.
Comment could not be obtained from ZANU-PF Chief Whip Joram Gumbo, whose mobile phone was not reachable. But sources say some ZANU-PF lawmakers are also not happy with Mdenda's ruling, maintaining they should be allowed to air their views freely in parliament. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Ivan Chifera.
For perspective on the issue, reporter Tatenda Gumbo turned to former MDC lawmaker Pishai Muchauraya and political analyst and ZANU-PF activist Maurice Ngwenya. Ngwenya says the move by the speaker is simple. that parliamentarians should not make unsubstantiated and malicious claims during parliamentary debates.
They must be respected. The dignity that the House needs should be respected at all times. There is no way that the whole House of Assembly or the National Assembly would sit only to get people to be embarrassed. People were not chosen to go there and settle personal scores or to embarrass other people. They should not become personal. They should not abuse the privileges that are found in Parliament, the immunity that is found in Parliament, to start defaming other people or insulting other people. They should always conduct themselves with respect and also respect other parliamentarians.
Mr. Muchauraya, what's your take on this issue? Would you agree with Mr. Ngwenya?
I don't really agree with Mr. Ngwenya in the sense that the Constitution actually gives members of Parliament the right and the privileges to debate freely on matters affecting the nation, and their powers or their privileges must not be usurped or must not be curtailed by the Speaker of Parliament. It's actually a breach of their privileges. So the Speaker of Parliament must not interfere with the debate in Parliament. Actually, if he has got a problem with some debates, he should advise the people to make contributions that make corrections of the errors that could have made, rather than curtailing the privileges of members of Parliament. It's a breach of their privileges as enshrined in the Constitution of Zimbabwe.
Mr. Ngwenya, what's your take there? And also, is there a way to better understand whether it's malicious intent or it's a debate on the matters of national issues?
Surely it is common knowledge that personal issues are very distinct. You can tell that this is a personal issue, with nothing to do with the country or with the parliament itself. But I disagree with Mr. Njauraya. It is very clear that there is no country and people that would spend resources just to empower one person in the name of a parliamentarian to go and address the other person or embarrass the other person or become personal or attack personally the other person. Surely we can't have a country. There is no country with such so-called privileges. It's actually an abuse. There are no such privileges that allow someone to attack in a personal way another person. Because that person is first and foremost the citizen of this country whose rights is protected by the same constitution. Therefore, it will be really by the wayside if we say that they are protected in any way by the constitution to attack or defame other people. Certainly it's an abuse of the privileges that are found in parliament. And I think it was very, very important that the speaker pointed out that people shouldn't abuse those privileges. They should stick to the business of parliament, which is legislation.
Mr. Muchauraya, your response here, but also someone who's an MP is considered to be a public figure. So maybe some of their personal issues are out there. Is this grounds to open this up in debate in parliament?
The thing is, every Zimbabwean was given an opportunity to contribute towards the making of the constitution before its endorsement on March 16, 2018. That is where all these voices or all these contributions were supposed to be made, that you must not say this or that about when debating. But now it has been passed as a law. The parliamentarians must enjoy those privileges of debating. And if anyone feels that this statement which has been made concerning a certain issue is not correct, the other parliamentarians must debate to correct that version, which is deemed to be incorrect or to be malicious. It's not for the Speaker of Parliament to say you must not say these things, because by so doing, he is actually breaching the Constitution of Zimbabwe, which is not allowed.
Mr. Ngwenya, your response here?
Yeah, I have noticed that of late there are really some parliamentarians who are going there to Parliament to seek limelight by peddling all sorts of things, personal things against other individuals, which is not the reason why they were chosen, after all, to go to Parliament. They're supposed to be making law. There are much more important things that they should be contributing towards in this country, in Parliament.
Political analyst and ZANU-PF activist Morris Ngwenya, you also heard the views of former MDCT lawmaker Pishai Muchau-Raya. The MDCT National Council is expected to meet in Harare tomorrow to discuss, among other issues, problems threatening to tear the Labour Party apart. Party spokesman Douglas Munzora confirms that the meeting, the first in 2014, will discuss issues of discipline in the party, together with a report from last month's provincial and district chairpersons meeting and the future of the party. There is a speculation the meeting could decide the party's Deputy Treasurer General, Elton Mangoma's fate, for writing to Mr. Changirai, urging him to step down. But sources in the party say it may be difficult for the council to expel Mr. Mangoma because it needs a two-thirds approval from the floor. National Chairman Love Momoyo, who is also the Disciplinary Committee Chairman, told Studio 7 he will present his report to the meeting, but he declined to reveal its contents. He also refused to say whether some people will be brought before the disciplinary committee or not. Jonga Kandemiri spoke with Mr. Munzora about this issue.
This is the first National Council meeting in 2014, and this is a routine working National Council meeting, and it will deal with about three broad things. Firstly, the agenda for 2014 and beyond. We want to transform our organization into a modern organization, a different organization, a new MDC with a new trajectory. The second thing is that we are going to be discussing issues to deal with the raising of funds for the party and the various strategies the party is going to be employing in raising of its financing. We are also going to be discussing organizational renewal, by which we mean the strengthening of our structures countrywide. We will deal as well with the issues affecting the country, and the last thing will deal with the disciplinary issues.
On the disciplinary issue, do you have names?
We don't have the names yet because the national chairperson is coming today and will be presenting the names to the standing committee tomorrow. But we will deal with the disciplinary issues ranging from not necessarily looking at one person, but we'll be dealing with people who have disciplinary issues. MDC is a part of rules. And where rules have been breached by a person, then that person must be brought before the disciplinary committee of the MDC. However, the National Council doesn't sit as a disciplinary committee. It is sit as a body that will accept all a recommendation for somebody to be put before a disciplinary committee. If there is going to be any interim measure, then that will be dealt with by the National Council. But this is a very, very serious meeting. It is a very, very serious organ of the party.
That was MDCT spokesman Douglas Munzora speaking with reporter Jonga Kandemiri from Harare. Tage Life International Trust, an advocacy group for the rights of girls, today launched a program aimed at increasing awareness of gender-based violence amongst vulnerable youths as well as HIV/AIDS issues. Tage Life International Director Nyaradzo Mashayamombe says the organization will work with young girls in the Midlands province following support from the U.S. government to strengthen its programs. The U.S. State Department, through the President's Emergency Plan for AIDS Relief, or PEPFAR, gave Tage Life a $100,000 grant to expand and strengthen its programs. The organization will partner with the U.S. Embassy in Harare and HIVOS to reach 300 schools and train 160 peer educators in four districts in the Midlands over the next 2 years. In a press statement released by the U.S. Embassy today, the Counselor for Public Affairs, Karen Kelly, said the embassy is excited by the partnership with Tage Life International, an organization she says is a track record of bringing together communities to address issues affecting young girls. Mashayamombe spoke to Studio 7's Marvelous Mashayamombe Nyahwe.
The problem that we're looking today is historical program that we want to start with reducing this violence amongst the pre-adolescent and adolescent girls. What we are saying is the linkage between gender-based violence and adolescent. The forms of gender-based violence, not the forms that cause gender-based violence, are things like getting the child married and intergenerational relationship rates and even voluntary child marriage. So we're saying we need to take the girls, also the boys and community, to be able to prevent the girls from the oldest forms of discrimination and violence against the girls. So this grant is going to enable us to reach about 300 schools. Before that, we've been working between 23 and 30 schools, but never had we done this. So with the grant, we're going to get into 300 schools. That's about 30 to in Midland and in 160 yards, where we are also going to train what we call community peer educators. So the children in school are going to be taught about how to prevent domestic violence and the outside, and the girls are also going to learn about how to protect themselves from gender-based violence. And in the communities, we are also saying we are training the community peer educators to start dialogue that speaks about the rights of the girls and how to protect the girls out. So what we do is we train the peer educators, and the peer educators are expected to go back into the community and to start dialogue with their communities as well.
What is the age group that you're targeting under this program that you're launching?
We are going to be working with age groups from 9 to 18, both boys and girls. And also now in the community, we are really not looking at any age group, because we are also working with any community member who wants to volunteer and wants to do the job.
What is this program called? You said that you received the grant under PEPFAR. Can you just expand on that?
Thank you. It's called Making the World a Safe Place for the Girls Child through the inclusion of all. So we are saying that the community is the place. We need to educate the girls child. We need to target the girls and to educate them about how to protect their children. We need to target community members as well to teach them. So it is called Making the World a Safe Place for the Girls Child.
That was Nyaradzo Mashaya Mumbe speaking with Studio 7's Marvelous Mtlanganya Huye from Victoria Falls. Please remember to stay tuned for Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when Blessing and Gibbs will lead discussions in the debate about male circumcision in Zimbabwe. To join us, please text us at 001-202-465-0318 so we can call you back from our studios. And now we go to an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
A wave of deadly attacks on innocent men, women, and children in northern Nigeria shows that while under pressure from police and government troops, the Boko Haram terrorist group is still a force to be reckoned with. In recent weeks, hundreds have died in raids that may have been conducted in retaliation for the crackdown, a cowardly campaign fueled by a group exploiting local grievances to assert its influence over a peaceful and diverse population. The unspeakable violence, school children burned alive in their beds, villagers gunned down en masse as their homes are destroyed, is horrific, wrong, and has no place in our world. On February 15th, the militants stormed the village of Izgay near the border with Cameroon, killing more than 100. A few days later, the village of Bama was set ablaze, and more than 115 villagers were gunned down as they tried to flee to safety. Then, early on February 24th, again in northeastern Nigeria, militants attacked the federal government college boarding school in Bunuyadi, killing 29 teenage boys. Some burned to death in their beds after their dormitory was torched. Similar attacks since then have become almost a daily occurrence. No group has claimed responsibility for the Bunuyadi killings, but Boko Haram has attacked many schools that teach Nigeria's national curriculum, which it considers sinful. If education is a sin, what is murder? What good can come from such destruction? The people of northern Nigeria deserve to be free from violence and from terror. That's why the United States is providing counterterrorism assistance to help Nigerian authorities develop a comprehensive approach to combat the threat posed by Boko Haram while also protecting civilians and ensuring respect for human rights. We stand with the people of northern Nigeria in their struggle against violent extremism and remain a committed partner of the Nigerian government as it works to root out Boko Haram and associated groups.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government. And now we recap today's top stories. Former Bulawayo Deputy Mayor Alderman Charles Mpofu, who died in a Bulawayo hospital on Sunday after he was run over by an unlicensed driver, was laid to rest in his Matopo homestead today. And the MDCT Formation is pushing for the formation of a land commission to investigate multiple ownership of farms in the country. Join us at 7 every evening for news in the three languages of Ndebele, Shona, and English. And visit us on the internet at www.studio7news.com for more on our top stories. You can send us an email to studio7@voanews.com or send us text messages at the following number 001-202-465-0318. Unfortunately, that's all we had for you today.